It's also an exciting day because we're going to see a very exciting part of Lamdas. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We'll see Rava's association between Sroros and between Zav. But before then, let's talk a little bit about Tefillah as we do every day. And a very, very interesting concept emerges from Parshas Vayetze. We spoke yesterday about why Yaakov's Tefillah is articulated as Vayifka b'makom. Very strange word. Doesn't say Vayispalo b'makom. Doesn't employ the term Amida b'makom. Or even the term Lasuach Basada Vayifka b'makom. But why the term b'makom? Vayifka b'makom vayalan sham. Makom is one of the ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is defined. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to as space, and this takes a little bit of abstraction. But thank God in the modern world, because of Google Earth, I think you can appreciate that abstraction. Imagine you're standing in a lone shvut, and you start zooming out on Google Earth, and you start to see Israel, the Middle East, the entire Mediterranean basin, the globe, the solar system. Keep zooming out, and you keep zooming out and seeing space in a larger proportion. Imagine you could zoom out infinitely, and you get to the point that you would zoom to the point that the finite universe, and the universe is finite at some point, you were at that last zoom point. You were looking at the entire universe through Google Earth, or Google Universe. If you zoomed one level higher, you'd be in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like place contains you, Hashem contains space. So the relationship between you and space is the relationship between space, or area, and the Ribono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Makom Shel Olam, the same way the Olam is your Makom. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu encompasses all of area and all of space the same way the space encompasses you. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to as Makom. But why is the term Makom described here in particular vis-a-vis Yaakov's Tefillah? Well, partially to understand that answer, you have to realize that all area in Parshas Vayetze is very confusing. Where exactly is Yaakov on this fateful night? Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Charana. So he's not in Be'er Sheva. He seems to be in Charan, if we don't interpret the Medrash. But it's clear that he's not in Charan because he has an apparition at night and a Sula Mutzav Arza, and he calls it Beis Elokim Shara Shemayim. So he's clearly not in Charan. He's no longer in Be'er Sheva. He names the place Luz, or the place is called Luz, and he renames it Beit El. Beit El is a pretty iconic name, the house of Hashem. It sounds very parallel to Beit Elokim. Beit Elokim Shara Shamayim probably doesn't refer to Beit El, it refers to Yerushalayim. So there are four different areas that seem to collapse into one. And Rashi quotes the Gemara in Chulin, very famous Machlokas Rashi in the Ramban. At least according to Rashi, he arrives at Charan, starts his return back to Yerushalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu meets him halfway in Beit El, takes Har Moriah, and migrates it to Beit El. So you basically have Beit El, Har Moriah, somewhere in the north between, not modern Beit El, but somewhere near modern Beit El. Basically, space doesn't exist in Vayetze. All the space has been reconstituted. Why? Because when you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, space is irrelevant. When you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is the Makom Shel Olam. So human beings live in time and live in space containers. I can't live tomorrow before tomorrow comes. I can't live yesterday after yesterday has passed. And we also live in space. If I'm here, I can't be in Philadelphia. If I'm here, I can't be in China. But when you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, space is irrelevant. You're transcending space. So whether he's in Yerushalayim or Beit El, or for that matter, Charan and Be'er Sheva, he's encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's in Makom Shel Olam. So coordinates and landmarks are irrelevant. And for Yaakov, this is an extremely important message at this stage of his life, because he's about to lose his space. He's leaving Eretz Yisrael. He's leaving the family home. He's going to spend 20-plus years in a foreign land. So the reminder that when you encounter the Ribono Shel Olam, space is irrelevant, has to be conveyed not just linguistically and experientially through his davening, but also because the land literally underneath him is shifting and migrating and being reconstituted. And it's interesting that the word makom for Yaakov means something very different than it meant for Avraham. Remember Avraham's tefillah al hamakom asher amad sham in Parshas Vayera, and we spoke about the importance of a makom kavua, of having one specific place. So for Avraham, there's a space that he occupies. It's his makom kavua. He davened there for a stone. He davened there the next day after stone was destroyed. And that's his place that he encounters Hashem, because human beings occupy space. So our experience of space at least starts with a particular area that we feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. That's why Makom Kavua is so important. If you daven in the same place every day, you feel the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu more immediately and more powerfully than if you constantly switch your location. But the goal of davening is to move beyond space. When you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you twin yourself with the Rabbonu Shalom, you enter, we spoke so much, and we'll continue in Parashas Vayetze. It's not about the Kavana, it's not about the Techina, it's not about the Bakasha. It's simply encountering the Rabbonu Shalom. So you transcend space, which is why Jews for centuries, thousands of years, have davened all across the globe, but somehow they knew that space didn't make a difference. They could be in Siberia, they could be in Poland, they could be in Spain, they could be in Morocco, they could be in Argentina. They were in the base of Lakim Mishar HaShemayim, which is, of course, a place beyond space. Har HaBayis doesn't have space. That's why it isn't distributed to the Shvatim. Yerushalayim isn't allocated to various Shvatim because it's not a place that can be distributed or allocated. So it's particularly important when you daven to imagine yourself, wherever you'll daven, on the one hand, occupying a particular fixed set of coordinates that you meet at Kadosh Baruch Hu, like Avram did, your Makom Kavua. But as you daven, you're literally transcending human limitations. You're encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you're moving beyond limits. Space is a limitation. It's important because we couldn't exist. Gravity is necessary for our survival. Too little gravity and we'd float to the heavens. We couldn't live. Too much gravity, we'd be crushed. Try diving, deep sea diving. The gravity gets too overwhelming, you get crushed. So that gravity that fixes us in a particular location, it's exactly calibrated to allow us to live in our space, not to float beyond it, not to be crushed by it. The Gzadik or the Sparkle calibrated exactly to the point, go too high, not enough gravity. Go too low, too much gravity. So we are fixed in space, and we have to daven like Kodesh Baruch Hu as space-fixed human beings. But when we daven, we transcend place, and we transcend location, and let your mind wander to places, just like you let your mind wander to times. Davening is also a journey through time. Elokeinu v'lokei avoseinu, you're moving beyond the particular time. You're thinking about different parts of history. Baruch Atah Hashem, Goel Yisrael, Etzemach David Avdecha Meir Tatzmiach, you're thinking about past Gula, you're hoping for future Gula. So davening is that escape. Okay, davening is moving beyond mortal limitations. And that's why Yaakov's davening is described by Yifgah B'Makom. He's lost Makom because at this point, Makom is irrelevant. He's lost any terrestrial terrain, any fixed set of place because he's now engaged in a larger space of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that goes beyond human coordinates. Okay? So,